Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you found us today. I've got a question for you. Are you feeling stuck? Like maybe you've hit a wall and just nothing's moving forward? Well, you're not alone, and you're not without hope. You know, the Bible is full of people who faced impossible situations, like Mary, Noah, Job, even the Apostle Paul. And they all experienced one thing that changed everything, a breakthrough from God. So today, Pastor Rick continues his series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Rick's going to walk us through biblical accounts of faith, prayer, and perseverance, reminding us that God still moves in powerful ways. Whether you're in a season of waiting or searching for hope, this series offers encouragement and biblical truth to help you keep going and get the breakthrough you need. Okay, now here's Rick with part one of a message called Talking to Your Heavenly Father.
Now, I defined a couple weeks ago the word breakthrough as when God does a miracle, when He miraculously solves an unsolvable problem in your life that you have no control over. There are some problems you can pray for, but you could really have some input. You could use your own ingenuity to solve those problems. But when God solves something that's unmanageable, uncontrollable, you have nothing to do with it, that's called a breakthrough. And we all have different breakthroughs in different areas of our lives. Now, I just want to say this at the start. God did not bring you here during this particular season when we're studying how to have a breakthrough in your life by seeking God. He didn't bring you here to watch everybody else have their prayer be answered. God brought you here because He wants to answer your prayer. God wants to do a breakthrough in your life. If He didn't want to do a breakthrough in your life, believe me, you wouldn't be here. But God wants to answer your prayer. He wants to have a breakthrough in your life. Now, you know, when you look at the life of Jesus, He chose 12 men to be His interns or disciples or followers. And they followed Him for 3.5 years. They saw Jesus do all kinds of amazing things. He healed people. He did flat-out miracles. He calmed storms. He fed the 5,000 with a single lunch. He did all kinds of miracles, all kinds of healings. He raised people back to life, people who died. They saw this happen. He preached great sermons. He was an amazing man of miracles because He was obviously God in flesh. But when the disciples went to Jesus, they never asked Him, "Lord, teach us how to preach. We want to preach like You do." They never said, "Teach us how to teach." Never once in the Bible did the disciples, these interns of Jesus, say, "Teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to heal people. Teach us how to do the spectacular things in life. Teach us how to, see You do great, great things." But instead, the one thing they asked Jesus to teach them was this: "Lord, teach us to pray." Why? Of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them after watching Him for 3.5 years, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," because they realized that prayer was the secret power behind the healings, behind the miracles, behind the spectacular, behind the great teachings, behind the way He handled processes of life. If you teach us, Lord, how to pray like You do — this guy obviously prays in a very different way than we do — then we're going to have the power of Jesus. You've heard me say this many times: much prayer, much power. Little prayer in your life, little power. No prayer in your life, no power. And so they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, the truth is, if we were honest, if you're honest, if I'm honest, most of us, we're not very confident about prayer. In fact, prayer is confusing to most of us. I talked to a lot of men who go, "I don't know how to pray." And we find prayer to be very confusing, and we're not confident in it. We say, I don't know what to say. I don't know who to say it to. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to pray. I don't even know if this thing works. I'm filled with doubt. I'm filled with confusion. You know, I'm filled with insecurities. I don't know how long to keep praying. And so most of us, when we come to the idea of prayer, we go, "I don't get it. I know I'm supposed to pray, but I don't get it. And I don't enjoy it. I don't understand it." What I want to do for just a couple minutes in this service is take the worry out of prayer for you. When you leave here at the end of this service, I want you to be able to go, I am confident. I know how and what to pray. And you won't have that worry. You won't have that lack of confidence in your life. Now, in Luke chapter 11, there on the beginning of your notes, Jesus' followers said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus said, well, and here's where he starts. When you pray, begin by saying, our Father. Begin by saying, our Father in heaven. Now, we don't realize how shocking that statement was, because up to this time in history, nobody called God Father. They called him a lot of other things. But Jesus said, I'm here to tell you that when you pray, you are to call God Father. And he says, if you understand this, it's going to change the way you pray. You're going to pray much more confidently. You're not going to worry. You're not going to be so insecure about it. What Jesus is saying is prayer is not about words. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what words you say. You don't have to be eloquent. A guy who doesn't speak much to anybody else, God's not expecting you to be very eloquent to him. Jesus says, prayer is not about your words. It's about a relationship. And it's a very special kind of relationship, like a father to a child. It's to be intimate. It's to be loving. It's to be casual. It's to be no barriers. A little child doesn't walk into the presence of her father and wonder about, how do I say this? A little child just walks in and says it in the best language they've got at that particular age and stage of life. And God is saying here, prayer is not about words, it's about a relationship. So he says, when you start with our Father. He's saying, to be confident in prayer, you got to have the right relationship idea in your mind. God is not some impersonal force. May the force be with you. God is not some psychological or philosophical term, the unmoved mover, the ground of all of our beings, all of these phrases, the omnipotent, omniscient, unfeeling power, impersonal force. No, he says, to pray, you got to realize God is your Father. Now, if you're going to be confident in your prayer, listen to me, you got to use the name that God has chosen for himself. And God chose the name Father. You have a right to choose what you're called by. You were given a name by your parents, but when you grew up, if you wanted to shorten it or change it or whatever, you could. You have the right to be called by what you want to be called by. So, for instance, if your name is Lori, you don't like it if somebody calls you Laura or Lauren or Lorna or Loretta. That's not your name. Your name is Lori. And God says, I want you to call me Father. Not mother, by the way, not mother. God is not your mother. God says, I am your Father. Now, we know, God tells us in the Bible, that God has both male and female qualities. And the reason why there are two sexes on earth, male and female, is because God has both male and female qualities, and we were made in his image. And no one person has all the image of God. And the Bible says women need men and men need women, and that we need each other because together we project what God is really like. So God is a spirit. He's neither male nor female. But God has said, I want you to call me Father. And he has the right to say, you call me by what I want you to call me. And actually, Jesus even takes it further. As he goes into explaining this, he says, I want you to call God Abba. A-B-B-A. Now, that's not the Swedish rock group. It's an Aramaic term. Every child who's born in the Middle East, the first word they learn is Abba. It means Papa, Dada. It's like Mama. It's something very easy to say. And what Abba means is not even Father. It means Daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of love. And God says, when you pray, the first thing you got to get right is the relationship. You got to realize, I'm not some CEO sitting up there in the sky waiting to judge your prayer. I'm your Abba. I'm your Daddy. And you can come to me in a loving, gentle, trusting, intimate relationship like a little child. Come to God and say, Daddy, that's what he says to do. Now, I realize that this is a problem for some people because father is a negative term for some people. Maybe your dad was distant. Maybe your dad was demanding. Maybe your dad was demoralizing. Maybe your dad was abusive. Maybe your dad was absent in your life. And you have a lot of bad memories about that term, father. So when you say, well, if God is like my father, no thanks, God, our Father in heaven. But God, your heavenly Father, is unlike any father on earth. Now, there are good fathers on earth. I had a good father. I hope maybe you had a good dad. But every dad, including me and those of you who are dads, we're flawed. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. Your Father in heaven is absolutely perfect. He never loves you conditionally. He never loves you one day and not the next. He's not inconsistent. Some of you grew up with dads. You say, I don't know if he's going to hug me one day or slug me on another day. But God is not like your dad. God is like unlike any father on earth. He's perfect. He always loves you. He always knows everything about you. He always understands you. My dad didn't always understand me. Your dad didn't always understand you. I didn't always understand my kids. But God knows what you think more than you know what you think. And so we know that God says we're to call him Father. What kind of father is God? This is really important. If you understand this, then prayer becomes very easy for you. God is a caring father. He will never stop loving you. He doesn't have bad days or good days. He is unconditionally loving toward you. God is a caring father. God is a close father. Some of you had distant dads and you didn't see him. God is with you all the time. He's paying attention to you all the time. He has the ability to watch every move in your life. He knows every hair on your head. The Bible says they're numbered by God. He's caring. He's close. He's consistent. He's consistent. He's always the same. He's not one way this way and another way another. He is capable. When I was a little kid, I used to say, my daddy can do anything. When I grew up, I realized he couldn't do everything. And when my kids were little, they used to think I could do everything. And then they grew up and realized that I couldn't. I'm not capable in every area. But God is. Your heavenly Father is capable, and he's close, and he's consistent, and he's committed, and he's competent, and he's caring. Now, Jesus has a lot to say about prayer. This morning, I want us to just look at one set of verses by Jesus, just five verses in the Sermon on the Mount. And in this five verses, Jesus gives us five reasons that you can always pray with confidence, no matter who you are. Did you hear that? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your religious background is, Jesus, in this passage, gives you the five reasons you can stop worrying about, I don't know how to pray, and how you can pray with confidence all the time. So you need to write this down. This will change your life. It'll change the whole way you look about prayer if you'll do it the way Jesus said. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, this is in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. He says this up here on the screen. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. This is a promise. Now, by the way, the verbs there, ask, seek, and knock, they're actually present participles. Jesus is actually saying there, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't just knock one time. If I told you, go over to that house and knock on the door, and when you open it up, when the door opens, they're going to give you $1 million. You wouldn't walk up and go and walk away. No, if you knew $1 million behind that, you'd start knocking and you'd keep knocking and you'd keep knocking until the door opened. So God says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent in your prayer. 4, anyone who asks will receive. That's a promise. Anyone who seeks will find. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus says this. For example, if your child asks you for some bread to eat, would any of you fathers give her a stone instead? Obviously, the answer is no, of course not. Or if your child asked you for some fish, would you put a snake on their plate? And the answer is obviously no. He's using this metaphor, this image of prayers like a father and a child talking together. And he says this, now, since even you, as sinful, imperfect parents, I'm an imperfect parent, I don't always get it right. You're an imperfect parent. as a sinful, imperfect parent, you guys know how to give good gifts to your children. Even though I'm often selfish, I'm often self-centered, I'm not perfect, I know how to give good gifts to my kids, and so do you. He says, even if you're an imperfect parent and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your good and perfect Father in heaven give only gifts that are good to those who ask him? There's that image of parent and child. And then he says, so, he concludes, in every situation, always do to others what you would want them to do to you. You're familiar with this. This is called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most of you didn't know that it's in the context of prayer. He's talking about prayer. In every situation, always do to others what you would want them to do to you, because this sums up all the commands and all the teachings in the Bible, all the law and the prophets is summed up in this. Treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. Now, in that passage there, he gives us five reasons. You don't have to worry when you pray. You don't have to worry about what you say, where you say it, how you say it, how long you pray. You don't have to worry. You can be confident. Would you write these down? Number one, these will change your life. Number one, the first thing God teaches us in this passage is that God promises to answer if I keep asking. God promises to answer if I keep asking. He says, keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For anyone who asks will receive, anyone who seeks will find, and everyone who asks knocks, the door will be open. Now, what's the difference between asking, seeking, and knocking? It's just three ways of saying the same thing. If you take in English the letter, first letter of each word, ask, seek, and knock, what does that spell? Ask. Yeah, he's just saying ask three different ways. But what he's saying here is proximity to your heavenly Father makes a difference. Write this down. I'm not going to go into detail on it, but let me explain it to you. When I'm close to my Father, I just ask. When I'm close to my Father, I just ask. In other words, if I'm a little kid and I'm at home and my dad's sitting there in the living room and I have something I need from him, I don't write him a letter. I don't send him an email. I don't call him on the phone. If I'm close to my Father, I just go, hey, Dad, I need, and then I ask. And when you're close to God, then all you need to do is just ask. Like a child asks the Father, God, I need this. Daddy, Abba, I need this. When you're close to God, you just ask. But sometimes I'm not close to my Father. And sometimes you're not close to God. And sometimes I have something I want to ask my dad, and as a little kid, I go, well, he's not here in the living room, so I have to go seek him. And I go look in the backyard. Is dad in the backyard? I want to ask a question. No, he's not there. I want to go to the garage. Is dad in the garage? No, he's not there. Is he in his little study area, his office at home? No, he's not there. Is he at work? If he's at work, I might have to call him. And when I'm distant from God, I have to do a little bit more than asking. I have to seek him. I have to seek him. When I'm distant from God, when he's not close. And then sometimes my dad is behind a wall and I have to knock. And when a wall keeps me from seeing my Father, I knock. When he's in the room with me, I just ask. When I don't know where God is, when I'm distant from God, I seek. And when there's a barrier between me and God, I knock. And so I want to ask as a little kid my dad something, and I look for him, and I find out he's in his office, but the door is shut. What do I do? Do I just give up? No, I just go up and knock on the door. And dad goes, who is this? It's me, Dad. Come on in. No problem, no hassle. I just knock. Is it okay for me to come in? Yeah, come on in. Come on in. And so what is he saying by this? Listen very closely. It doesn't matter how close you are to God, or how far away you are to God, God still wants you to ask. Listen to this. Some of you think, I'm not worthy to ask God. I'm too far away from God right now. God says, no, you can ask, you can seek, you can knock. Doesn't matter what the distance is. Doesn't matter whether you're close or far away. The very act of you asking is going to bring you closer. So it's not like you got to clean up your life and then you can start asking God. He says, just ask, no matter whether you're really close to me or you're trying to find me, Some of you are seekers, you're trying to find God, or there's a barrier between you and God, and you know it. God says, it doesn't matter, you can still ask. That will give you confidence. That'll give you confidence. Regardless of how close or far away you are, you can ask for anything in prayer.
I am so grateful for that message by Rick, and I hope you are too. And now here's Rick to tell you how you can partner with Daily Hope to take the Word of God to the world.
Today I'd like to read a testimony that really blessed me. It shows how even when you make mistakes, God's faithful to forgive you, and that He's always working in your life to bring about everything together for good in your life. Not everything is good in your life, but God works it all for good in your life. Now, this is from a man who says he's a recovering addict. And this is part of his story that starts when he listened to a Daily Hope podcast. Here's what he wrote. Pastor Rick, a couple of months ago, I started a 12-step program. In working the steps and in turning my addiction over to God, I searched out many sources for daily inspirational, daily devotionals, daily meditations to help me reconnect with the Lord as a support for the progress in my recovery. Now, in what just seemed to be a random chance, I just came across your Daily Hope podcast, and I blindly just picked a message from early July. I'm sure a lot of other people have done that too. Well, the very first one I listened to was on Romans 7, which is all about, why do I do the wrong things that I don't want to do when I know it's wrong, and what makes me do that? I can't believe that was the first one you listened to. Well, knock me over with a feather. It was a bolt of lightning that I needed to hear. And it was followed by tears of joy because the very next podcast, of course, was Romans 8, which is the solution to my dilemma. That's right, folks. Romans 7 explains the mess we're in. Romans 8 explains how to get out of it. He says, Rick, it was like a smack on the head by divine intervention. So I joined a small group. And I haven't missed a week since, and I love it. And I have a weekly Bible study with a close friend who graciously offered to help me. And I subscribe to your daily devotional email. And I've continued to listen to your podcast when I go for my morning walk. He says, the spiritual growth that I've achieved in a relatively short period of time is really nothing short of remarkable. It's a miracle, and it's a blessing, and it's helped me turn my life around. I now understand why God allowed me to suffer through all my addiction and that the path to recovery is through Jesus Christ. From the bottom of my heart, Rick, thank you for all you do through Him. Well, wow, wow, wow. This testimony is a powerful reminder of how God can take everything in our lives, the mistakes, the sins, the failures, the hurts, the bad decisions, even destructive habits. And guess what? God can even bring good out of them. The Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. It doesn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. But in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. That's Romans 8:28. Now, this story is a beautiful example of Romans 8:28 and that truth. Listen very closely. No matter what we've done, I'll say it again, no matter what we've done, we're never outside of God's master plan for our lives. Your life is not random. In this case, God led somebody to Daily Hope podcast just at the right moment to hear exactly what he needed. Now, God could have used any method. He could have used any person. He could have used any podcast. But God, in this instance, chose to use Daily Hope. You know, friends, it's because of your support, your prayers, and your giving that we're able to make Daily Hope Bible teaching available to over 35 million people every month. So thank you. Thanks a lot. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your support. This man, who is a recovering addict, was helped because you cared enough to support this ministry. So let me just say it again. I don't ever get tired of saying it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
If you'd like to help support Pastor Rick in this ministry with convenient automated monthly giving, please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And when you do, we'll send you a special welcome gift to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Thank you. We hope you'll join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.